how awesome is that? Don't clap quite yet. I actually want all of the kids to actually just stand up right now. And I just want to give, and even if you weren't in it, just stand up. We just want to give you a huge round of applause. Man, that was so awesome. Thank you guys so much. Man, wasn't that so awesome? Man, I just want to also really quick, just I got Miss Tiffany Wagner who put that baby together. I just want to give her a round of applause too because that was huge. That was so huge. Thank you, Tiffany. Hey, babe, I need my Bible. Boom, chaka, thanks. Really kind of cool. I'm just bringing up my notes here. It was really cool because there's a simplicity to the Christmas story, isn't there? There's really a simplicity to the story where we can hear from the kids telling us about what God has done for us. Really, Christmas is simply God coming in the flesh for you. God coming to save you. That's what Christmas is all about. You go home. Right? I mean, just kind of, that's it. That's it. There's a simplicity to it. And the kids just kind of told us that story. But there's really, in the message being so simple, there's also a little bit of a danger with the story. And the danger in the story is that we start to get kind of cozy and cuddly, and we kind of look over at the Christmas tree, and it looks so good. And it just kind of starts to, you know, you got your arm around your honey, and your kids are with you, and this is so great. And in just a little bit, we're going to light a candle, and we'll sing Silent Night, and it's so... Oh, this is great, right? And what can really happen with this message right now, as simple as it is, but also as complex as it is, the reality is nostalgia, or kind of these feelings that we have sometimes associated with Christmas, because we all know the story in some way, don't we? I mean, I was in Walmart the other day, and they're blaring on the radio, like, the Christmas songs and singing about Jesus' birth. And we all know the story in some way. And so we can start to actually let nostalgia or, like, our familiarity with the story actually hijack what God would want to maybe do in your heart tonight. You see what I'm saying? Does that make sense? I really believe God wants to actually still, it's not like Christmas is this time we push pause on all the real stuff. Oh, and we'll just kind of get all fun and cozy. No. I really believe God wants to actually speak to you tonight and actually wants to shape you and change you and mold you and actually start to bring you into the story. And it's not some story of like 2,000 years ago. I really believe it's the story of the world and it's the story of God coming to dwell in that world. This is how it starts, middle of the story, and how it actually ends up ending. Next week, we're actually going to talk about end time stuff. So, which is kind of funny because I think there's a lot of bad teaching on the end times. And so I'm just like, you know what? I'm just going to say something about it next week. It's kind of like the end of the year. So I was like, end of the world. That makes sense. You know, I don't know. And so it's just kind of a standalone kind of message, but I'm just going to speak into it a little bit. There's so much that could be said, but I'm going to just speak really simply into it. But the reality is, even at the end, what is it? God comes to do what? Dwell with his people. There's a simplicity to the message. And so I just want us to kind of make sure we're zeroing in on that tonight and letting God really speak, okay? Let's say a prayer. You thought I was like a quarter way into my message there. Nope. We haven't even begun. Let's pray. Jesus, open up our hearts and our minds right now, please, to receiving your word in all of its truth. Please, God, work in a mighty way in our hearts and in our lives, shaping us and changing us and molding us according to how you'd have us just kind of look and be and reveal to us what you want to reveal to us tonight. Please help me right now, God, to simply share what you want to share, not a word more, not a word less. Please do that work in us, God, right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. You just heard this from the kids. Check it out. For unto you is born this day. Now watch that. For unto you is born this day. And in the Greek, it's actually a plural there, so it's y'all. Okay? For unto y'all is born this day in the city of David a Savior. Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. Y'all will find a baby. You're going to find a baby.
Laying in a manger.
For unto you is born this day. Man, there's so much here. There's so much here. Unto you is born this day. And what you're going to find, what are you going to find? A baby. Who is the first people? This is a group of angels. One angel guy at this point saying to a group of what? Shepherds, right? Who are out in the field. And the shepherds are out in the field. And I was thinking a little bit about the shepherds this past week. I was thinking about these guys who are just kind of out there. Who knows what they're doing with these sheep. When I started thinking about who these shepherds are and what they might be doing, I thought of a clip from Dances with Wolves. And I wanted to show it with you. Boom.
What is that? Put that in your book.
Were it not for my companion, I believe I would be having the time of my life. I know he means well, but he is quite possibly the foulest man I have ever met.
Has anybody seen this video clip? Please tell me one person. Nope. Okay, a couple. Put that in your book. Is that not the greatest line of all time? Oh my gosh. That just, I get a kick out of that every time. Thanks for one person helping laughing back there. This is funny to me. This guy passing gas out in the field. I don't know why that's so funny to me, but it is. It's hilarious. When I think of shepherds out in the field, a group of dudes, right? And some of the most foul guys really at this time. These guys, you study up on them, and shepherds are pretty, shepherds are not just like blue collar, okay? That's not necessarily what they're, these guys are like some of the lowest in society at this time. These guys are typically like thieves and robbers. These guys are not like the main makers kind of out in society making stuff happen to movers and the shakers. This isn't them. These guys are really a representation of almost like the lowest people group in first century kind of stuff. They just are. And even a representation even bigger than that, they represent almost kind of humanity and its most like... kind of its most, what's the word I'm looking for? It's in my notes, but it's like the most empty, kind of shallow, just kind of like foul kind of ness that humanity as a whole has become. And it's to these guys that the angels come and the angels say, God has told us to tell you. It's like finding the local bar or something around here. And the angels not coming to the Chamber of Commerce and the leaders in the community or something. No, coming into the bar. Hey, what's up, baby? You know, these guys are like, you know, chewing tobacco and stuff. They're just, this is what they're doing out there. And it's to these guys that the angel comes and says, for unto you, for unto y'all is born this day in the city of David, a Savior. And so these shepherds, what do these shepherds do? These shepherds are like, all right, let's go check it out, Billy. And so they go, and they come into the town, and they're looking around. What are they looking for? They're looking for a baby in a manger wrapped in swaddling clothes, right? And so they're looking, because the angels have told them this. But come on, think with me a little bit. You just were visited by an angel in all of its glory, and a bunch of them, right? And so you just saw the glory of heaven. And so the angel tells you you're looking for a little baby. So you're like, okay, I'm going to look for a little baby. And they're telling you to look in the manger. Okay, we're going to look in the manger. But what do you think you're going to see? Yeah, maybe kind of a baby. But I think these guys are looking for like baby Megatron. See? Do you see what I'm saying? That's what I think they're looking for. They just got visited by an angel. So they're like, okay, let's go find a baby in a manger. Fine. Might even look like a little dude, but it's going to like glow, or it's going to be alien-like, or it's going to be something, because this is the Savior of the world. And so they come, and they're looking in the houses, and there's not too many babies that are probably born that night. So they finally locate the baby that's been born that night, and they walk into this room or stable, or who knows. They walk in, And they come in, and there's like this lady over in the corner, right? And she's just exhausted, maybe taking a nap. And there's this dude over here, and he's just kind of like, just kind of nervous and just kind of like seeing what's going on. And then in the middle of the room, there's this little manger. And they come up to the manger, and they look in. And I think I know what they said. I don't know, but I think I know. I think I know the first two sentences that they said when they looked in. I think the first thing they said when they looked in at that little manger, they walk up to it. It's not baby Megatron. I think the first thing they say is, "Aww." I think that's the first thing they say. Aww. But I think I know what the second thing they say is too. This isn't in the Bible, by the way. But even if they didn't say it, it's a thought that's gone with us for thousands of years. They looked in, and I think then they said, "Man, he looks just like us. He looks just like me. Hey, Bill, didn't you have a kid that had ears kind of like that? Yeah, you know? Yeah, kind of did. Little different nose, but yeah, pretty much. He does kind of look like us." He looks just like us. I spent all week looking at that, thinking about that thought. Why is that important, that Jesus would look just like us? I've looked at theologians from the first, second, third, fourth century and how they thought about that. I've looked at a bunch of readings by C.S. Lewis. I've read a ton more on the incarnation this past week than I've ever done before. Just because it started to get me more and more just kind of like, why the heck is that so important? That the shepherds look in and they see a little baby. He looks just like us. Why is that a big deal? I think I know. I want to read to you a scripture from Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. There's really two scriptures that I want to kind of focus our attention on. But here, check this out. The Apostle Paul says this. Jesus is, that's the he here, Jesus is the image of the invisible God. And then it goes on, just jumps down to verse 18. And he is the head of the body, the church. Watch this now. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in, oh, there's so much there that I want to talk to you about, but I can't, I don't have time. There's so much there though, gosh. He's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him, in Jesus, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. And through him, watch this, through him to reconcile to himself, what? All things. Whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. Ultimately, why does Jesus come? Through him to reconcile all things to himself. To reconcile. To make right. See, Jesus comes to put on flesh the image, the real. Jesus was an actual height. He actually spoke a language. It's not like Jesus masked in, like, you know, God masked or something. No, he actually is. You can touch him. It's history. It's real. It actually happened. He comes to reconcile all things to himself. And I've thought about that just kind of a lot, because this is what Jesus is trying to do. Even the cross, which gets preached so much, Why? Why the cross? What's the purpose? It's to bring reconciliation. It's when Jesus in the flesh, really happening, goes to the cross and he dies. He doesn't kind of die. He doesn't pretend to die. He dies. And not this Jesus who is the son of Mary and Joseph, right? Who is, me and my kids were talking about this, who's the mother of Jesus? Mary. Who's the father of Jesus? See, it's not Joseph, right? It's the Holy Spirit coming upon, we believe in that, we believe the virgin birth, that Jesus is both God and man. Why is that important? Why can't God just do something like restore? Why does he do what he does? To redeem and reconcile and actually restore. Man, does anybody feel like they live in a broken world? Every day. Is there anybody in here that just like, just when you think of the world and when you, I'm a Yahoo News guy. I don't know why. Convince me of something else. That's fine. I use it as my search engine. I use it for everything, right? Yahoo News. That's where I get every my news. And sometimes I'll literally click open my phone and just go to Yahoo just because I expect there to be a little red thing up top that says what? Breaking news. Whatever. Bomb drops somewhere. Somebody opens another shooting. Some government collapses. Another war breaks out. And it's like we expect it. There's so much hatred and just so much stuff that's going on in our world, and it's so broken. It's just a broken world. And then when we stop, and that's easy to say that, but then when we start to really stop and think about it, the world being made up of us as individuals, we start to realize, man, we're a pretty broken people. I'm broken. I'm in need of a Savior. I snap at my wife. I treat my kids like this. We struggle with relationships with people at work and the way we treat them. We oftentimes, when we're honest, don't really care about people actually at all. Like, we pretend, we got our southern charm. Do we really care about people? We're addicted to different things. The pleasures of this world, seeking after the next thing, the next thing, the next thing. Addicted to drugs? Addicted to pornography? Struggling with sexual identity stuff? Struggling with just different things in this world? And maybe some of us are able to just be like, nah, that's not me, that's not me, that's none of this me. Maybe it's a pride thing that we struggle with. Man, I worked my tail off. I do. I make it all happen. Nothing's wrong with me. And all of a sudden it's like, well, actually, there's a message for you too, buddy. We're broken. We're a broken people. We're a broken humanity. And whether you lean towards just everything, you know, maybe you're an atheist or agnostic or something here tonight, and that's cool. We're so glad you're here. I really mean that. And you have this idea, and some of actually you get some of this better than we do sometimes, but that like everything is material, and everything is just boiled down to just kind of chemical reactions maybe in the brain. Leading scientists, I was kind of reading some leading physicists, even atheists, who just basically say we're just a bunch of neurons kind of thing, where it's just all physical, everything's just material, even though nobody lives like that actually, nobody lives that way. And I'd love to have that talk, just talk philosophy with anybody that wants to. But the reality is some of us think that way. And then sometimes actually it's Christians that lean the other way, which is everything's spiritual. The material sucks. The material's terrible. It's all floaty stuff that really matters. And Jesus, when he steps into history, the Son of God, when he breaks in and puts on flesh, he blows both of those out of the water. He does. Because he comes to restore, to redeem. Listen to this, a little bit more from Colossians, verse 21. And you, who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds. I mean, he just kind of picks up right where I'm here. Doing evil deeds, a broken people, you're broken, you're in need of some kind of salvation. He, Jesus, has now done what? He's reconciled, and notice what Paul puts, really emphasizes here. He was reconciled in what? Follow, make sure you're following. He reconciles in his body of flesh. Not this spiritual move that he made, just the spiritual thing. No, God in the flesh reconciles all of humanity into his flesh in order to what? Present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. I'm sorry, I know you showed up to just kind of talk a little cheesy. Just tell me the little Christmas story. No. Jesus has come to reconcile you. And this is my main point. Get out your phones. Get ready to tweet. I'm not kidding. Get ready to tweet this. Because this is the whole point. If there's one thing I want you to take away, it's right here. Everything's leading up to this point, which is simply this. And I don't know if I'm capturing all theologians on this, but it's as close as I can get to what makes sense and what I really believe, which is this. God has come in the flesh. God has come looking like you. Because he wants you to look like him. Hashtag boom. That's right. Hashtag boom. Now you can get into a little bit of errors on this, and some people do, thinking that we become gods or something like that. I'm not saying that. Jesus came looking like us so that we might look like him. He comes in the flesh so that he might redeem all of humanity. He brings all of humanity into himself, all of our brokenness. And what does he do? He takes it to the cross and kills it. Puts it to death. And when he rises up, the firstborn from the dead, notice that language Paul's using there. He's pushing something. What's he pushing? He's pushing that he's the first, but he's not the last. There will be others to come. Who are those others? Those who die in faith in him. And the resurrection of the dead is in mind here. And he wants to bring all people and present them to his Father as holy, redeemed, restored people looking like him. You don't believe me? I know you don't. So I had to throw in another one. 1 John, check this out. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 through 2. See what kind of love the Father has, and the NIV, I like that the most, has lavished upon us. He's given to us that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. Watch this. The reason the world doesn't know us is that it did not know him. I like looking at my Bible. Beloved, we are God's children now. And watch this. And what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him. We shall be like him. Because why? We shall see him as he is when he comes in all of his glory. See, I actually shot a couple of my buddies this past week because I always like talking to other pastors and just make sure I'm not in any kind of heretical error. And I was like, Jesus came to die, right? That's kind of the point. And he's like, yeah, but God doesn't come with a death wish. He comes with a purpose. It's to die, yes, but why? It's to redeem you. It's to make you into a new creation. It's actually almost a new humanity that we see glimpses of now. The kingdom of God at work, we see glimpses of now, but not yet fully until Jesus comes again. This is why you got to come back next week to find out when that's going to happen. I don't know when Jesus is coming back. Some of you are freaking out. He wants to redeem you and restore you. He wants to make you whole. Go read C.S. Lewis's Mere Christianity. He says it best when he starts talking about us being infected with this almost divinity kind of stuff. I'm not going to push it too much here, but this is what God is up to. He wants to make you new. Tonight, this can be yours simply by putting your faith and your trust in Jesus. Because of what he's done for you on the cross, he wants to take you and present you to God the Father. And when God the Father looks at you, I think before Christ, it's kind of this, this kind of foul creature. Enemies of God, according to Romans. But now God looks at us. This is going to get a little cheesy here. But now God looks at us and he says, "Aw. Aw, you're my child. You're my child. Children of God, and that is what you are even now." Man, soak that in. Soak that in. And if you still don't know what I'm talking about, but the Holy Spirit has gotten a hold of you just a little bit, I want to talk to you more. I really do. Because I'm here to tell you it's a whole new world for you. C.S. Lewis actually says you wake up from a dream. The morning comes. It's cool. It's cool. Let me pray. Let me pray for us. Jesus, I thank you so much for these kids who are loud. I thank you for them. I really do. I thank and praise you for how you are working in hearts and lives, helping us as parents, raising our kids to know you, Jesus. That's why we have them here. We're not trying to send them away so that they can't hear the message. No, we want them to hear the message. We want them to be, we want them to learn about this stuff. And so I thank you for our kids, God, so much. God, I thank you for what you've done for us on the cross. Thank you for coming and being born in that manger. As one of us. You look just like us. And God, that is hard for us to understand. That is hard for us to get our brains around why you'd even do that. But it seems like your word is so clear that you've done that to restore us, to make us new again, to bring us back into a how you want us to be, not a broken people, but your people, your children who you redeem. And you offer this to every single person, not to clean it up, not to clean up first and then come to you. No, those shepherds were clueless out in that field, and you showed up. You sent those angels to just show up and say, "For unto you is born this day." And Jesus, you speak that to every single one of us in this room right now. For unto us is born this day. For us. That's amazing that you did that for us. You didn't do this little magic trick so you could be this cool God who's also person. No, you did it for us. Golly, help us to understand that, Jesus. God, thank you for this Christmas Eve night. Thank you for what you're doing in our hearts and in our lives. Keep growing us, keep pushing us, keep challenging us, God. And for that person in this room, God, right now, who's maybe struggling with this a little bit, Jesus, for that person or those people in this room who are thinking to themselves, "Man, I want to know more about this. I just want to understand more about what you're trying to do." Jesus, please move them to find someone they trust, a Christian brother or sister who they can trust, who they can just start some of that conversation with. There's so much you want to teach us, God. There's so much you want our eyes and ears and heart to be open to. The story of the world, the story of what you're doing. Please, God, just move our hearts to keep leaning into that. Please, God. God, thank you so much for this time. God, we are sorry for our sin. We are sorry for our sin, and we just lay it all before you right now. And we just trust in you because of what you've done for us on the cross. We trust that you've actually taken that sin upon your cross and you've paid the price for it. And for those who are weighted down heavily with sin tonight, please, Jesus, let them know that you have forgiven them. And so even right now, not because of any authority or anything in me, but because of simply Jesus and what he says to those who are repentful of their sin. I just want to let you know, your sins right now are forgiven in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Your sin is gone right now. That's for you. That's for you right now. It's gone. Your sin is gone. You're whole. You're new. And we look forward to his return. In Jesus' name, amen.
Get ready to sing this last verse. We're going to step away from the mics and we're going to all sing as a congregation and just let it ring out, just the voices.
Now may you go with our God who has come unto you. Go with him in your hearts. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus, go. He loves you like crazy and he always will. Amen. Merry Christmas. Guys, have a great night and be safe. Lord bless you guys.